Good day, brothers and sisters, and welcome once again to the CMI School of Christ. And I'd like to continue our class, Ministry and the Appearing of Christ. And just want to look at real quick a little bit from our previous class. Yeah. We covered in our previous class just the whole thing concerning religious, theological, doctrinal debates and how in such debates no one is actually a winner at all. In fact, we all lose regardless if we win the argument or not. And I say we all lose because our hearts have not been directed to turn into the face of Jesus Christ. I think I may have shared it during the last class. I can't remember. I'll just go ahead and say it right now. The Holy Spirit never debates with us. He just presents us Christ. He doesn't debate with our thought or our concept. He just presents the truth. He's the Spirit of truth. Even Jesus himself, when he showed up, he basically said, "I am." And they tried to, you know, bring him into their theological debates, the Jews at that time. And he didn't. Why should he debate something that he knows has no relevance when he is the object of what the Scripture is declaring? So he just presented the truth as he is. He said, "I am," and then he inserted the things of the testimony. "I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. I am the resurrection. I am the door." All these things. He presented himself as that very thing unto all the rest. Of course, really sad, they were looking for things and not the person. And those that were looking for the person, the majority of them, were looking for their concept of the person. Let's see, what else did we... We looked at correction and instruction as defined as a bringing back, the act of correcting, the act of bringing back. And as I demonstrated, it's the act of the bringing the heart back unto the Lord, the heart turning into the Lord. We looked at some Proverbs. Let's see. "When wisdom entereth into the heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, that thou mayest walk in the way of good, keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it." The upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. So those are just some things from our previous class that I wanted to go over to kind of give us a little refresher. And, excuse me, for this class, we're not actually going into the Proverbs again. I have that for the next class. For this class, I've just got a couple of notes written down on a page that have just kind of been on my heart. And I know we've covered some of these verses already in a previous class, but I'm not sure if we've covered them to the degree that they're on my heart this time around. So by saying that, I'll just go ahead and have us turn there. This is Luke chapter 11. Verse 29 through 36, and as I said, we have already covered this passage in a previous class. All right, verse 29, and I've got a subtitle in my Bible. It says, "The Demand for a Sign." "And when the people were gathered thick together, he began to say, 'This is an evil generation. They seek a sign, and there shall no sign be given it but the sign of Jonah the prophet. For as Jonah was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation.'" And we know that the sign of Jonah was the cross. Basically, it was Jonah crucified. Jonah died, went into the belly of the whale. He went into the depths. You could say he was buried. And he came forth in resurrection, and he declared the word of the Lord unto the Ninevites, and they listened. Well, we're going to look at the verse. They repented. All right. So Jesus himself is a sign. Christ himself is a sign. All right. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Let me read verse 30 again. For as Jonah was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation. Okay? Even as Jonah was a sign, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Christ himself, the one that Solomon was a testimony of, Christ himself is right there before them. We've looked at this, but the key thing here is that he's saying is that the queen of Sheba will rise up, and just from her being there, it will condemn this generation. Why? Because she heard the testimony of Solomon. Those who had seen Solomon came unto her where she was, where it says right here, the uttermost parts of the earth, came to her, declared, if you can hear it, the good news of Solomon, the risen king. Declared Solomon, the risen king, the ruling, reigning king. She heard their testimony. She believed their testimony, so much so that there was an expectation in her own heart to see for herself. And what does she do? She came unto Solomon. Okay? Jesus was declaring himself to a generation. Another thing he said was basically this. We know this verse, but we've used it in a different way. But listen to the way I'm going to share it. I know you search the scriptures. You're searching the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they that testify of me. He goes on to say, and you will not come unto me that you may have that life. You will not come unto me. Okay? So this generation that was not born again, that had no life, is basically the generation he's talking about right there. The generation of the Jews that had the scriptures and yet were not wanting to come unto Christ. We're not wanting to come unto him, the person. All right? The men of Nineveh shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, a greater than Jonah is here. They repented. What did they do? Does that mean that Jonah shows up, declares the word of the Lord, and they say, okay, I'm sorry? No, they repented. Remember? Repentance. True repentance is not stopping this or that, saying I'm sorry. True repentance is when the heart turns into the Lord and the veil is removed, and with an unveiled face our heart is before the face of the Lord. And in turning unto the Lord, we have turned from whatever object it is. It doesn't matter what it is. Whatever we consider good or whatever we consider evil, whatever object, it doesn't matter. Because true repentance is not this or that. True repentance is having Christ, it's having the Lord as the object, and the heart desiring that object. The Lord as, shall we put it this way, the treasure. And wherever your treasure is, there shall your heart be also. Or, I'm not sure if that's the order, or if it's where your heart is, there shall your treasure be also, but it's seeing Christ. It's valuing Christ. Okay, that's true repentance. It's not turning from, it's always turning unto. Because if you turn from one thing, you will turn to another thing, and it will still not be the Lord. It'll still be a thing. Whether that thing in your mind is now better or good in your mind, it doesn't matter. It's always a turning unto the Lord. All right? And behold, a greater than Jonah is here. Christ himself declaring himself as the greater than Jonah, the greater than Solomon. All right. Verse 33. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when thine eye is single, thy whole body is full of light, but when thine eye is evil, thy body also is full of darkness. Take heed therefore that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If thy whole body therefore be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. A candle by its bright shining, by its bright shining. I like this, and I'll just present it this way. When I was reading this passage, the first time I looked at it in this manner, I thought of John the Baptist and how Jesus said, "You rejoiced in his light for a moment." Now we know John the Baptist was not the light. He basically said that when they came asking him, "Well, who are you? Are you him? Are you the Christ? Are you that prophet?" He said, "I am not the Christ. I am not. I'm simply a voice. A voice that cries in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord. I am not. I am not." Okay? And then Jesus goes on to say, you know, you rejoiced in his light for a moment, basically, but now I am here. Okay? Why? Because John the Baptist was testifying of Christ. He testified of Christ. The apex, the climax of the ministry of John the Baptist was basically, behold the Lamb of God. And we looked at it in some verses. It's just beautiful the way it was seen. It said, and John, seeing Jesus, declared, behold the Lamb of God. Now, then it says, then two of his disciples heard and followed Jesus. Exactly, doing the exact same thing John was doing. John, seeing Jesus, said, behold the Lamb of God. John, who was turned unto the Lord, seeing Jesus, is now declaring what he has seen unto the others. Not something different. Here's, if you will, the minister, because our class is Ministry in the Period of Christ. Here's the minister offering unto others what he himself is receiving. Offering not something different. No, offering what is, at this moment I would say, the object of his own affection. Christ himself. This is what his heart's desire is. This is what his desire is. He's beholding John, and John, seeing Jesus, crieth, behold the Lamb of God, that we may see him together. Not for a select few. If the whole body, I love this, verse 36, if the whole body be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. So for what member, what part? The whole body. Once again, here's John the Baptist seeing Jesus. Let me see if I can find that passage just so I can read it out of there. It's in it's John, the Gospel of John. I think it's chapter 3. Maybe not. Maybe it's chapter 1. Well, I didn't have it written down. Yeah, I love it. Here it is. It's John chapter 1, verse 29. I love this. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me cometh a man that is preferred before me, declaring his own testimony. This is basically saying, this is the one that I was telling you about. He's coming. The one after me is before me, for he was before me. He's preferred before me. This is him. This is him. Okay? It goes on. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending. I knew him not. And I saw, I love this. And I saw, verse 34. John, a true witness. Verse 34, chapter 1 of John. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. He just didn't declare it. No, I saw. Therefore, I can bear record. Therefore, I can give testimony. true testimony. Therefore, I can declare what I have witnessed, I saw, and bear record. This is the Son of God. All right. Verse 35, this is the passage that I was actually talking about. Again, the next day, I love that. Verse 29, it says, the next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him. Behold the Lamb of God. Verse 35, all right? Verse 29, the next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him. Behold the Lamb of God. Verse 35, again, the next day, after, John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus, John continued. I mean, it's right there. It's right there. John is an actual physical person doing things. But this is something greater for our own hearts, for us who are born again. He continued with a desire to behold the Lamb of God. He continued with a desire to behold the Son of God. He continued with a desire to behold Christ. Nothing less. Again, the next day, John. The next day, after John stood and two of his disciples. Again, the next day, John. Again, you could say, again, the next day, the heart was turned. Again, the heart was turned. This, thy seen me, and thy seen me hereafter. For I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to constitute thee a minister and a witness of this, of what? Minister what? Witness what? Of this, thy seen me, for it is I who have appeared unto thee, and thy seen me hereafter. Again, the next day, John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus, he said, as he walked, he saith, behold the Lamb of God. Looking upon Jesus as he walked, he declares, he saith, behold the Lamb of God. I love this. And the two disciples heard his testimony, heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. So it is no longer just John, if you will. Yes, I know that Jesus went on and he was 3.5 years doing an earthly ministry. Yes, I know that. And John, for some time, he continued baptizing. But he's still there. He beheld the Lamb of God. Two of his disciples heard. And guess what they're doing? Is John the master? Is John the teacher? They're his disciples. John would say it this way, a greater master is here. A greater teacher is here. A greater is here. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. So now they too may behold the Lamb of God. Okay, I love that. I love it. Okay, back to where we were. I moved my pen. Luke chapter 11. Nope, the other way. Luke 11, 29. One desire, one purpose. (Clears throat) And picking up once again with verse 33. No man, when he hath lighted a candle. Oh yeah, that's how I got to it. I was speaking how Jesus referred to John by saying this. You know, you rejoiced in John's light for a while, basically. And forgive me, I didn't search out the scripture to go ahead and read the passage. But there was a light. Why? Because there was a testimony. A testimony of what? Of the Son of God. A testimony of the Lamb of God. That's why there was light. The testimony, if you read in the Psalms, if you read in Proverbs, thy word, I think it might have been David. I'm not sure exactly who the psalmist was. But the psalmist wrote, thy word is a light unto my feet. Or, was that, I'm misquoting now, aren't I? A light unto my path. A lamp. Oh, I love it. Thank you, Ruth. A lamp, thank you, Brother Artemis. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Thy word that declares Christ. It's basically saying thy testimony. They are they that testify of me. They are they that testify of me, says Jesus. Lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. For what purpose that we in our hearts would have that very exact same expectation that the testimony, that the Scripture want to produce in our hearts. That our hearts would finally turn and behold the object, Christ Himself, of the testimony. The substance Himself of the testimony. As we looked at our previous class, to instruct, to guide, to keep us. Right? Not going to the left nor to the right, but to keep us forward. Behold the Lamb of God. And the two disciples follow Jesus. Very simple. Very simple. Okay. So Jesus, speaking of John, he says, you rejoiced in his light for a while, basically, but the greater light has come. And I don't know if he exactly said that or not, but he is that Jesus is what the light declared, what the light testified of. You know? No man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick. I love this. I love this. When I saw this verse, it just, yes. All I could do was say, yes, amen, Lord. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither under a bushel. Right? The candle's lit. Let's say this is the candle. He doesn't just hide it or whatever. Stick it over here in a corner. Stick it over here on the ground. Over here under this, under that, under something. But on a candlestick. The next part of the verse. That they which come in may see the light. That they which come in may see the light. Immediately, I don't know if your heart went here. Immediately, my heart went to Genesis. Chapter 1, verse 1 through, I believe, 3 or 4. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Here begins the testimony, a natural creation. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. The very first thing the Spirit of God does in the creation, the natural creation, is say, let there be light. And there was light. The very first thing the Spirit of God does in the new creation is say, let there be light. That they which come in may see the light. But how shall they see except they hear? Right? That's the order. John said, I love this. John, I was in the Spirit. John, I'm looking at the book of Revelation, and I'll get to that in a second. The book of Revelation, chapter 1, verses 9 through 19. I was in the Spirit. There you go. He's begun in the Spirit. He continues in the Spirit. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And his heart continues to turn. Continues. And I heard behind me a voice that spake with me. I heard. And I turned to see the voice. And we've been looking at in the Proverbs how the instruction of the father to a son is, hear my words. Give heed. Listen. Be attentive to my word, to my sayings, to my wisdom. Basically, be drawn, be kept. Turn unto. We looked at it in a previous class. I turn to see the voice. Well, I will go there. Before I go there, I'll just say this. The purpose for one being born again is that he may see the light of the new creation. I remember Raven shared this once when we were at a Bible school, and he shared this, and it just blew my mind away. I was like, oh my God, it's been there the whole time. Jesus and Nicodemus. And Jesus tells Nicodemus, no man can see the kingdom except he be born again. Okay, there's a different... Okay, I thought being born again was the goal. No, new birth is not the goal. Seeing is the goal. New birth is the door. New birth brings you in. Being born of the Spirit, born of God, born of Christ, born from above, born from the beginning, brings you in. The goal is the light. And, you know, there's many that will say, oh, yes, well, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God. No, no. I've said this before. Christ is the kingdom of God. Christ is the king. Wherever Christ is present, the kingdom of God is present. Now, listen. Those who are governed by Christ are those who are walking in light. Where the light is present, the mind of Christ is present. Actually, let me say it this way. When the light is present, when we know the light to be present, remember the turning of the heart from darkness unto light, we know at that moment when there is light, we know the mind of Christ to be present. Therefore, we are governed by the mind of Christ, no longer by our carnal minds or concepts or whatever. We are governed, and there you find the kingdom of God. Why? Because it is not I, but Christ. The Lord liveth, before whose face I remain. The understanding of Elijah. Elijah, the very first thing that comes out of his mouth, Jehovah liveth before whom I stand. The Lord God liveth before whom I stand, before whom I remain, before who I'm established, before his face. Therefore, everything I say is not my word, it's the word of the Lord. Right? It's not I, but the Lord God Jehovah in me. Right? It's not I, but Christ. So therefore, everything now I'm thinking of Paul. Everything that Paul says now is not Paul, but the word of the Lord in Paul. It's not my word, it's the Lord's word. It's the word of Christ. It's the mind of Christ. Why? Because my heart is turned unto the Lord. And I'm beholding him. Okay? So that's the goal. The goal of coming into the house is to see the light. And I was just thinking back, oh my gosh, Lord. Then why... And here it is. Why do we not? Why, when we are first born again? Because that's what I thought. When I was first born again, why was I not directed to behold Christ? Why was my heart not directed to turn unto the Lord, that the light of life would appear in my soul, as Paul says, you know, as God commanded the light to shine out of darkness, so hath He shined in our hearts. To give thee light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Why was I not directed unto this, Lord? I did not hear. Why did I not hear? Because there were no candlesticks declaring that where I was. It's very simple. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, putteth it in a secret place, neither in a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. Yes, there are those, yes, who are beholding the face of Jesus, yes, but as Paul would say, we are not as many. For many are declaring a false object. Many are keeping those that would come in remaining, falling short of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So, to hear, how shall they hear? Don't you love that? How shall they hear except a preacher? But what kind of preacher? There's many preachers. No. The preacher whose heart is turned unto the Lord and has only one goal, not to preach, not to declare, no, to behold. Again, the next day, John seeth Jesus. saith, "Behold the Lamb of God." When the object is Christ and Christ alone, then they are declaring simply Christ and Christ alone. No other goal. No. The goal of this one is no different than the goal of those in the house. The same goal for all those in the house. Okay? So they come in, that they may behold the light, that they may see the light. All right, let's go to Book of Revelation, chapter 1. I love this. Let's see where. I love this. Start with verse 9. I, John, who am also your brother. I, John, who am also your brother. What are you, John? Some super apostle? No. I, John, who am also your brother, who also have this same goal in my heart, who also has the same goal of the body, that the body be full of light. Not one member. No, the whole body be full of light. I, John, who am also your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, what is in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ, nothing less. I love this. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. It's the voice of the Lord, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book. And send it unto the seven churches. Okay, what thou seest, write. I believe I've already shared this in a previous class. If John had not seen the Lord, guess what? John would have nothing else to write. There would be no book of the revelation of Jesus Christ. For Christ would have not been revealed in this manner. Remember? It is a continuing appearing of the Lord. A continual appearing of the Lord. In greater measure. What? That Jesus is going to grow? No. Our understanding, our comprehension of Him is what grows. We have a great Christ, and I've heard Rabin say something along these lines, but an imperfect understanding of this great Christ. All right? And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, here we go, listen to this, I saw seven golden candlesticks. Seven. Okay, we know I'm not too much into numerology, but I've heard that like the number seven is like completion or something like that. Seven. God created the heavens and the earth, and He makes all creation. On the seventh day He rested. It's done. It's finished. Completion. Seven golden candlesticks. No man lighteth. How did Jesus say it? We were looking at John. No man, when he hath lighteth a candle, puts it in a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they which come in may see the light. Seven golden candlesticks. But we all, I'm thinking of 2 Corinthians, you guys probably already have this memorized by now, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17 or 18. But we all who, Paul? We all who are born again, and we all whose hearts are turned. That's the we all. We all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into that same image. From glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord, are changed into that same image, no longer bearing the image of humanity in our soul, in our hearts, but bearing the image of Christ. That image for which He was created for. To bear the image of God. To bear the image of Christ. Let us make man in our image. Right? To bear the image of Christ. The gold basically represents the nature, the character of God. Bearing the image. Okay? I saw seven golden candlesticks. Basically, in my heart, I'm looking at it this way. John is in the Spirit, continues in the Spirit on the Lord's day. I love it. He's in the day. He's in the Spirit. He's in the day. And he continues hearing and turning to see the voice. Hearing and turning to see the voice. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, that those that may enter in, and that those who are in the house, that those who come into the house, and for those who are in the house, may see the light of the new creation, the light of life, the light of the world. Okay? And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man. He saw the Lord. Yeah? He saw the Lord. He continues in purpose. All right? Clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. Okay. The description has begun. Now continuing on with verse 14. And his head and his hairs were white like wool. I know we've covered this passage before, but please look at it in light of Luke 11:29 through 36. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. Light, bright, light, light. I don't know if you've seen a mountain, and I've shared this before, a mountain covered completely with snow. You have to wear sunglasses. It's just so bright. It's blindingly bright. This is a beautiful description of Christ, but it's light, light. The description is light. Okay, it goes on. And his eyes as a flame of fire. Once again, light. Verse 15. And his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace. Light. And his voice is the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance, I love this, his face, as the sun shineth in his strength. The full day, right? The perfect day. The sun rising in the morning unto the full day, shining in his strength. And of course, when I saw him, I fell at his feet and dead, as dead. It's a beautiful description of Christ as light. The light, listen to this, the light of the house, the light of the temple. We who are born again are in Christ by virtue of Christ being in us. We've come into this relationship. The veil, as I said, there's no veil in Christ. There is no veil in Christ. The veil remains upon our heart. It's a veil of ignorance. Why? Because we come into the house and we are blind. We've come into the day, and like John chapter 9, we are born blind and have no clue that which is seen in the day. We have no clue that which is seen in the house. But remember, out of Luke, there's one goal in the house. It's not to see the things of the house, it's to see the light of the house. The light of the house. When God filled the temple, when God filled the tabernacle, it was testified, God filled it with His glory. All man had to get out. All humanity had to get outside. There was no natural light. It was the light of God. So it's not a scene with a natural eye. When we are born again, when we come in to the house, when we come in through the door, through Christ, into the house, we come in with one purpose. It might not be our purpose, but it's the purpose of God for entering into the house, that those who come into the house may see the light. Nothing less than beholding the glory of the Lord in the face of Jesus Christ, the countenance of Christ. All right. I love that. Jesus is found, is seen in the midst of the candlesticks. Whether it be, as Paul declared, we are not as many, but as of sincerity, but as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. Whether it be individual believers declaring that which they see in the face of Jesus Christ, that others may come into the house, and that those who are in the house may see the light. Or, get this, or it may be a particular fellowship. a particular congregation who have come in to the house and have beheld the light and continue again the next day. John seeth Jesus and continue. But at this point, it's no longer an individual, but a fellowship. A congregation declaring the purpose of coming into the house. I've said this before in a previous class, and it holds true. All is as it should be when the heart is turned unto the Lord, and with an unveiled face, we are beholding the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. All is as it should be. These, whether they be individuals or a corporate fellowship of believers, these are walking in the light. Because they have the light of the countenance, of the glory, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ before their faces. And that is what they're declaring. Nothing less. I've said it time and time again. We declare what we know, and what we know is what we see. We either make an unrighteous judgment by seeing with the natural eye, or a righteous judgment by seeing with the eye of the heart, the eye of faith, the eye of the soul, beholding the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. It's one or the other. It's one or the other. We are either a true witness or we are a false witness. We are either giving a true testimony or we are either giving a false testimony. Okay? But God intended a true testimony. God intended a true witness. For I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to constitute thee a minister and a witness of this, thy seeing me and thy seeing me hereafter. A continuation. Again, John seeth Jesus and saith, Behold the Lamb of God. And two of his disciples follow Jesus. All right. I wanted us to look just real quick. I love that. Let's stay in Luke. Let's go to Luke chapter 18. This is blind Bartimaeus. Chapter 18, verse 29. Luke 18, 35. Yeah. 35 through 43. And it came to pass that as he was come nigh unto Jericho, a certain blind man sat by the wayside begging. All right. The guy's by the wayside, he's begging. He's doing what he was taught to do by others. He's completely blind, and he's doing what he was taught to do by others. And hearing the multitude pass by, he knows something's going on, because at least he can hear something. He asked what it meant, and they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. That's verse 37. They told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. Now, Bartimaeus, I'm not sure if it actually says Bartimaeus, but it's Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus has heard of this Jesus. Others have declared Jesus unto him. This isn't the first time he hears the name of Jesus. Okay? Others have declared unto him Jesus. This is not the first time. He has some concept in his mind of Jesus. He's completely blind. He's never seen the Lord. But he has some concept already in his mind of Jesus. Why? Verse 38. And he cried. The blind man cried, saying, Jesus, Son of David. I love that. I love that. Here's the blind guy, right? He hears something. There's something going on. He's like, what's going on? Someone tell me. They tell him, Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. It's like if they were declaring what they were seeing Jesus. It's like if they were declaring, Jesus is here. And he's passing by. It's almost like they said, Jesus cometh. Jesus is here. He's here. He got the blind man, Bartimaeus. He's excited at this point. It did something in him. Now, if he would have heard something, well, what's going on? Well, some people, they're talking about Jesus. Oh, okay, well, I'd like to hear what they're saying. No, Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. It's almost like saying, he's here. Bartimaeus, he's here. He's passing by. He's within arm's length. He's within reach. He's here. What's his response? He cried, saying, Jesus, Son of David. You can look it up in your commentaries. When the declaration is made, Son of David, blind Bartimaeus was basically saying, I believe to whatever extent I can, you're the Messiah. No one used the phrase Son of David except in reference to the Messiah, to the Christ. No one used that phrase. No one took upon himself that phrase, only the Messiah. He has whatever concept he has of the Lord, of Jesus, he knows, you are the Son of David. You are the one I'm expecting. To whatever degree I can understand that, I want you. Right? Have mercy on me. Verse 39. Remember, this guy began begging. When they would say, have mercy, mercy, alms, beggars, they would usually just give him some coins and they'd be like, praise God, thank you. And then they start all over again. Verse 39, and they which were before rebuked him that he should hold his peace, but he cried so much the more, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. See? He has an expectation in his heart that only the Son of David, that only the Messiah, that only the Christ can fulfill. An expectation. He was in the midst of others. Maybe they had that expectation. Maybe they didn't. I don't know. He knew the expectation of his heart, and he declared it unto the Lord. He knew the expectation that only the Lord could fulfill. He did not keep quiet, but he cried out. Right? And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be brought unto him. And when he was come near, he asked him, saying, what wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? Here's Jesus. This guy before was begging, and just a couple verses earlier, a blind man sat by the wayside begging. We'll bring him here. What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? Well, alms, have mercy. And he said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. He knew of the miracles Jesus did. He knew that he could receive his sight from Christ. He had an expectation that he knew that only the Messiah, Son of David, thou Son of David, could fulfill. He had an expectation that wasn't fulfilled in man. Man kept him in his state of begging and still blind. And Jesus said unto him, receive thy sight, thy faith has saved thee. And immediately he received his sight and followed him, followed Jesus, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw, gave praise unto God. Immediately he receives his sight. Why? Because Jesus said, you're healed, you're good to go. No. He saw Jesus. He saw the Messiah. He saw the Christ. He saw the Son of David. His expectation was fulfilled. No longer was it the testimony of others Because remember, once he was aware that Jesus was in the vicinity, he cried out. No longer the testimony of others, but now he is now a witness. He has seen for himself and he has sight. Why? Because he sees the Christ. He sees the Messiah of God. Therefore he has vision. Therefore he has sight. And he followed him, glorifying God. No man will glory, no flesh will glory in the presence of the Lord. God receives the glory. God receives the glory. He followed. And he followed. And the next day, John, seeing Jesus, declares, "Behold the Lamb of God." And two of his disciples heard and followed Jesus with one purpose: to behold this same one. John didn't say, no, you're my disciples. No, that was not John's heart. That was not his heart. His heart was basically this. The bridegroom, the friend of the bridegroom, hey, the friend rejoices when he hears the voice of the bridegroom. The friend rejoices. Hey, because I desire to behold this one. I desire that there be in the hearts, right, of those who have come into the house, this understanding of the union that has taken place the moment they stepped over the threshold. Right? Brought into the fellowship of life. Brought into the fellowship of the Father and the Son. Where there is a face-to-face beholding. Beholding the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Beholding as the bright shining of the sun. Beholding the countenance of Christ. With one goal, with one purpose. And those who would say, "Hey, don't get excited about that. You're making a ruckus. You're getting too loud. Just calm down. You know, yeah, Jesus is great, but you know, just calm down." No, those who would say such things have truly never heard the Lord. Have truly never heard that they would turn to see the Lord. Those who would say such things have come into the house and have not seen the light of the house. But still the Lord continues. The Lord continues dealing with the heart. That the heart would turn. Repent, remember? True repentance. That the heart would repent. Turn unto the Lord. The veil be removed. And with an unveiled face, beholding the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That we would walk in purpose. That we would walk in light. That we would walk in light. That we would walk in truth. My time's just about up. I had some other comments. I think it would, if I did make a comment, well, I'll read them. Yeah, it does make sense. All right. As I stated before, we declare what we know. We know is what we see. Okay. Whatever we see, that is what we know. And we declare what we know. Okay, this is concerning those dead in sins, those that are dead. What they believe. They believe whatever they want to believe. It doesn't matter. They're dead. This is those who are born again but have this understanding of a child. Those who have come into the house and have not seen the light of the house. For whatever reason, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Okay, so now we have, they believe what they have carried over in their hearts and minds from times past, in their hearts. And what they are now told others to believe. And what they are now told by others to believe. Usually, act like Jesus, do this, do that, but it's hardly ever, behold the Lamb of God. Why? You cannot preach Christ. You cannot declare Christ except Christ be revealed. Except your very heart has turned to see the Lord. Except you have heard the voice and you, like John, have turned to see the voice. And you've beheld the glory of God, the bright shining glory in the face of Jesus Christ. And then you declare. Then you declare Christ. Then you declare life. Light, life, glory. The born again sons, aha, no man lighteth a candle and put it under a bushel. No, he puts it on a candlestick, that those who enter in may see the light. And I saw in the midst of the candlesticks one like as unto the Son of Man. Right? I love it. In the midst. Those that are sons believe that which they have seen in the face of Jesus Christ and declare Jesus is come. Jesus is present. Jesus is here. That in the hearts of those who are in the house, there may be an expectation to behold this very one who is here. What these believe is based on the revelation of the indwelling Christ. It's based on the appearing of light. Of light. There's so many in the house. That's what Jesus said. In my Father's house, in my Father's house, it is a great abode. There's so many who have not seen the light of the house. And this class being ministry in the period of Christ, so many who are in the house and have never seen the light of the house. So great is this house, and so great is the light of this house. We've come into the house for one purpose, that those who come into the house may see the light. But how shall they hear except there be a preacher? How shall there be a preacher except one be sent? How shall he be sent except he be sent out from the face of the Lord? For God doesn't send man, God sends His Son. Before the face of the Lord there is the understanding, it is not I who live, but Christ who liveth in me, before whose face I continue. Therefore the words that I speak are not my words, it's the word of the Lord. The actions that are done, they are not my actions. Christ in me doeth the works. But who has the understanding? Only those whose hearts have turned and now are beholding the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So may the Holy Spirit continue to deal with our hearts, that we would walk once again in purpose, the purpose of the house. That we would walk, I'll even use this phrase, in the business of the house. That we would walk in light. That we would walk in understanding. That we would walk in truth. That we would walk in the appearing of Christ. Amen? Amen. We'll see you all in our next class. Lord bless you guys. Amen.